Colossians 4, verses 3 and 4, it says, "With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." Father, thank you for this night. We pray your blessing upon this passage of Scripture, and as we consider it together, we pray you'd use this to help us to be better prayers. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. So as Paul really closes the letter after this, starting in verse, 7, all the way to the end, he's saying, hey, and I want to tell you about so-and-so and this person and that person, what they've done. And so really this is sort of the closing part of the letter. And so there's two things in verses 3 and 4 that he says, I want you to pray for me about. And so what was it really in verse 3? What is he praying for? If you're going to say one thing. Summarize it. Yeah, to be a witness, given that, you know, that God would open doors, that as it says, open a door for an utterance, that God would give me a chance to witness, to talk to people about the Lord. And then in verse 4, what would be the essence of what he's asking there? Yeah, so I think the idea is, pray for me that God would open opportunities for me to speak, and then when the door of opportunity opens, that I'd take it. And so there's a sense of boldness there. And so those are things you should pray for your missionary, your pastor, for one another, that God would give us all opportunities to speak, and then when the opportunities are there, that we'd be bold enough to give it. And I think it's interesting that even the apostle said, boy, I need help to accomplish what God wants to do in the area of evangelism. I need your prayers. And so I would pray that. I would ask you the same thing the Apostle Paul and for each one of us. And folks, that should be a real common aspect of what we pray for our church. Lord, we pray for our sicknesses, pray for our needs, pray for bills and, you know, difficulties and relationships, all those kind of things. But don't forget to pray for evangelism. And so when was the last time you prayed that people in our church would have opportunities and would be bold to share the gospel as we ought to speak? So anyway, that's a wonderful thing. And I think it is interesting. I just put the most determined in evangelism can fail. And with that boldness often comes by the prayers of others praying for you. Just as Paul said, I want you guys to pray for me. And so let's pray for each other about that. So as we so before he shared that, verse number 2 is what I want to preach on tonight. He says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And from that, I want us to notice 4 principles to help our prayer life so they be what they ought to be. So number 1 in that is prayer is essential for the Christian life. And I'm just focusing on that little word prayer. It's the most common word in the New Testament for prayer. Just looking it up, the noun is found 37 times, and the related verb is found 87 times. And really, it's an essential part of our Christian life. And so let me ask you, how's your prayer life? You know, that's what God says, hey, you need to have part of it. The Lord invited us often to pray. John 16, verse 23 and 24, it says, in that day, he's speaking to his men, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. And I think there's a sense of a new sense of assurance because of what Jesus would do at Calvary and through his resurrection, that we have an assurance we can come to the Father's presence. And there's something now. Now, let me ask you this. Could people in the Old Testament come into the Father's presence and pray? Yes. Yeah, I mean, David prayed all the time. They didn't have to be at the temple. They could pray wherever they were. They could pray in a cave. They could pray. But they didn't have that same assurance that we have today through the Messiah, through the Christ's death and resurrection. So I think there's a new assurance that he wants to give us. And then he goes on in that same verses. He goes on, hitherto have you asked me nothing. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. And so I think that it's you know, do this in my name. And when you do so, it'll be answered. And when you have that answer, your joy will be full. And I thought, that's an interesting thought about the joy will be full. And what I thought about, it has aspect, the fullness has aspect of completing it to its as far as it needs to go. And I thought, you know, there's a supernatural element in answers to prayer, the joy you can have that rises above anything you can get on earth. There's just something different when you seek God's face and God answers your prayer directly. that there's a joy that lifts above what you get just by your team winning the game, or you know, you getting a raise at work, or whatever it happens to be. When there's prayer involved, there's something that rises above that, and I think there's a supernatural element that Jesus is trying to get to us. So the concept that I want to get across is let's spend some regular time in prayer. I think all of us, even unsaved people, they'll pray in the crisis. Something's happening. I need help, Lord. So we do that, and that's a good thing. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, okay? What I'm talking about is that regular time where we set aside so we can pray. And as you break down this word, really its basic components means to bring your desire to God. Bring to Him the longing of your heart. That's prayer. It's coming to Him in that way. Now, we know the caution about coming with the longing of our heart. James 4:3 says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may," what? Consume it upon your own lusts, your own desires. And so, God is not a wishing well. You know, God is not, you know, some self-fulfillment. You don't have a privileged position before God through His Son so you can get what you want. Hey, I have more, I'm not saying that you don't ever pray those. I'm just saying we all have times where there are certain things, and it's not a bad thing, because just as a father loves to answer the request of his children, so God answers yours. So I'll come back to that. You know, pray about everything. And I think that's wonderful, but sometimes even as a Christian, sometimes our desires may dip down to those old nature desires. I was going to ask for a show of hands. How many have ever prayed for something and after you prayed about it, you realize it was utterly selfish? How many have ever done it? We've all been there, you know? And so that's the caution, okay? But at the same time, remember, you got saved. And when you got saved, the Holy Spirit takes a presence within. You got a new nature, so there's new desires. So some of the things that you really like to see done are good and are godly and are for God's honor. So I'm not saying, everything I want. No, that's not true. Because some things you really want because it's part of the new nature and it's a godly and it's a good thing. Okay, so all I'm saying is at times, let's stop a moment and see what's the desire that's in there. What are we praying about? So I put down this question, what aspect of His will do you want to see happen? And part of that is living out your Christian life. What is it you'd like to see God do in you? What is it you'd like to see God do through you? What is it you'd like to see God do for you? What is it you'd like to see God do around you? And that would be like the church. So what are things, are you praying about those things that you'd like to see God do this in relationship to you? Do you want to see His kingdom grow, His name honored, His work done? So in all of that, I still think we need to pray about everything, okay? So I don't want to, I got to think, is that really honoring God? Is that, you know, pray about everything. I mean, make your whole life, just make it secondary. I remember one time, I think it was Brother Hodgins, he mentioned just in passing one time, he was talking about Yvonne. And says, she's amazing. She just prays about everything. She talks to God about everything. And there's other people that we need to probably do that more often. But here was the question that I thought about myself. In praying about everything, ask yourself if the everything includes anything about God and His glory. And again, that's the caution, you know, that we have to ask ourselves if that's part. So, you know, we pray about, okay, what's on my schedule today? And we pray about that. And I think that's probably right and noble and good. Lord, please help me to accomplish this and help your Son to be glorified and you to be glorified as I accomplish these things for you. And that can be a secular place. I mean, you're there as a servant and you need to pray that your work there will glorify God. Your work there will advance whatever, hopefully you're not at somewhere where it's going to be a wicked thing to be accomplished because you're helping it get done. I mean, if that's the kind of work you're doing, then you need to get another job. So whatever it is doing, sometimes it's a benefit, it's a welfare for other people. And say, God, help me to get this done for your honor and glory. Help me to do a good job, and so I please you. So as you pray about your schedule, do you ever pray anything beyond your schedule? Do you ever pray about anything that you'd like to see done that it could only get done if God did it? Are we praying those kind of prayers? You know, the world around us is so self-centered and so materialistic and so worldly. I mean, we shouldn't expect, I mean, that's what the world is. It's worldly. But do we pray something beyond that? And so that's all I'm asking us as we think about prayer, to bring to God the longing of our heart, just to keep an eye on, make sure that's longing's the right way. So living out your Christian life, seeing God's work done, seeing God's plan fulfilled, and not just my own. So that's all I'm saying is maybe as you think about prayer, is it bringing the longing in my heart? Is it something more than just about me and everything related to me? Is there something beyond me that I'm trying to see God do? And I think that's what part of prayer is. So number one, prayer is essential for your Christian life. Number two, prayer is to be done with diligence. The first word in that verse, number two, continue in prayer. And that's an imperative verb. And it means just keep on doing it. Be busy about it. Put some work into it. Stick with it and get it done. The early church before Pentecost in Acts 1:14, it says, these all continued, same word, continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. And then after Pentecost, the church had begun to meet, and it says in Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in prayer. So they continued in prayer. So that was something they did. Romans 12:12 says this, continue instant in prayer, that same word, and then not using the word, but the same concept, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Jesus said, keep on knocking, keep on asking, keep on praying, and it'll be answered. I'll answer your prayers. So prayer can be work. In fact, notice in chapter 4 here, verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, and so I believe he was a worker or a pastor there in Colossae, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. So he said he was working at this thing. You know, we know Jesus worked in the garden when he was praying. Jesus told us in Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. They faint because it's work. It's hard. It's a battle. When you got saved, you entered that battle. And so we need to fight. And let me say this. If you determine, hey, you know what? I've not been praying. I've not been consistent. I've been up and down, in and out in my prayer life. I'm going to be consistent. I'll tell you what, it'll become a battle right then. The moment you decide, hey, I'm gonna get serious about this thing, I'm gonna really start bringing these kind of things to God, you're gonna face a battle, and maybe the battle's just in your heart, but the devil will throw fiery darts. So I put challenge yourself this week. Maybe just look back from last Wednesday, which sometimes our days get all mixed up. But how much have you prayed this past, you know? What was, and I'm not just talking about, you know, you're sitting at a light and you hear something on the radio and all of a sudden you just pray about it. And you need to do that. But I'm talking about that time you set aside to pray. Is there time you're setting aside to pray for your kids and grandkids? Is there time you're setting aside to pray for your fellow church members? Have you set time aside to bring, you know, whatever it is, whatever ministry? So I just wrote down these questions. And maybe I'd say even keep track of yourself for the next couple weeks. You know, just consciously say, okay, how much time am I spending in prayer? Think, how much time do I spend? Well, I pray before I ate my Cheerios. You had to pray pretty quick because they might get soggy, so you didn't want to spend, especially if you have cornflakes, and you don't want to. So I'm just saying, this maybe take a time to consciously say, you know, how am I doing? How much time am I spending? So that's, you say, well, that can get Pharisaical if you're counting your time. Well, you can make it Pharisaical, but if you're not spending any time, you're not very Pharisaical. Because you're not doing anything, you know? And I said, is prayer a priority in your life? Do everything get in that way? And we all have times if we set that time where our Bible reading and prayer time, and, you know, something comes up and, you know, it sort of puts things in confusion. And then are you earnest in that effort, or is it become a sleepy time? You know, I think we've all had those times where we've fallen asleep. I remember one time I was down in when we were in Wenatchee, and we had this old, it was like a, I don't know, it was like a half bed. I don't know what you call it, day bed. Anyway, I remember praying there one time, and I fell asleep while I was praying. I was sitting beside on my knees, and then when I woke up, there was a spider like right, that's how I woke up from my time of prayer. I wasn't praying, I was sleeping, okay. So anyway, that was, so hopefully, so here's the thought. Maybe decide tonight, okay, where, when, how am I going to, and when I say when, you know, set, okay, from this time to this time, I'm going to spend this much time in prayer. And let me say, don't say, okay, I'm going to start spending an hour a day. One day you'll probably do that and then you'll quit. So maybe just pick, if you're not doing anything, just I'm going to set 10 minutes aside to just pray. Not read my Bible, I'll just pray. And you know, it doesn't have to be long, but you know, find out when you're going to do that. So you decide, I'm going to continue. I'm going to put in the effort to pray. So that's the second thing, is prayer is to be done with some diligence. And then the third thing, prayer is a place of watchfulness. The next phrase I thought was really interesting. And watch in the same. So continue in prayer and watch in the same. And so watch means to stay alert, to be mindful, to be ready. You know, Jesus said concerning his second coming, said, watch therefore, for you know not the hour when the Lord doth come. And then also in prayer, Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So be alert to spiritual dangers. Be alert to spiritual lethargy. How do you do that? He says, watch in the same. What was the same? Well, watch in prayer. That's how you do your watching. It's while you pray. Tells you that watching is done by being engaged in prayer. That's how you watch. There are aspects of spiritual alertness and insight that you gain while you're praying. Just put down, if you're on guard duty at a military outpost and you were to be on guard, you were to be on watch. And as the sun begins to set and gets darker around you, your ability to see is minimized. And so they, as a guard, they equip you with night goggles and either have, you know, heat sensors on them so you can tell if an animal or a person is out there even when it's dark. Now, that would allow you to be watchful in a situation that would be otherwise impossible or very, very difficult. And I think that's somewhat of our time alone with God in prayer does for us, that allows us to see what we couldn't otherwise see. God wants you to show you things in the spiritual realm that you can't see if you don't spend time with him in prayer. Watch in the same. Watch while you're in prayer. And so some aspects of prayer is asking, okay? Sharing our heart and our desires with God. But I think there's an aspect here that he's saying, hey, prayer gives you an ability to see beyond what's just there. You say, well, that is, no, I'm just saying to see yourself, to see your society, to see your situation. If all your prayer time is just a list of things you're going through, and that's not a bad thing, okay? But God says, stop and listen sometimes as you pray about wisdom. I was thinking today, reading through Daniel 1, I guess it was. Yeah, Daniel 2, where they're going to kill all the wise men in Babylon because the king had a dream and he wants to know the dream and the interpretation. But he said, I'm not going to tell you guys. So you guys have to know the dream interpretation. And so Daniel and his, you know, they didn't know about it until the Arioch, I think it was, came to him and said, hey, you guys are all going to be executed here. And he says, whoa, what happened? What's going on? How come it's so intense? How come it's so quick? And he tells him the story. And so Daniel goes to the king and says, hey, can you give me just a little bit of time? And so they seek God. And they say, God, give us insight. I mean, this is life or death. We really need to see it if you want us to live, if you want us to continue to be an influence here in Babylon. And it says God gave them wisdom and insight. And Daniel's praising him for that. And I thought, you know, that's a fulfillment of James 1:6. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And I thought, do we believe that? I mean, when we're stuck on a dilemma, whatever it happens to be, do we think that God will give us insight what to do? Do we really believe that? We should. He said, watch. The same. I want to give you some insight. I want to give you understanding. I want to allow you. I'll put it this way. I believe that whatever level you're at in your Christian life, in fact, you can live some of your Christian life without a real prayer life. You can still continue to do okay. But I'm just thinking, how much more elevated would it be if you had a consistent time in the presence of God? Think about it. You come into the very throne room of God, into His very presence, and His influence there will affect you somehow, some way. It's like if you have a dog or a cat and you're wrestling on the floor with them, you'll come away with dog hair or cat hair all over you. Now, you don't get dog hair or cat hair in the presence of God, but being there will influence you. And I just think, you know, sometimes we just need to. So I just put, you'll catch a fuller glimpse of the wickedness of the human heart and the magnificence of His grace. In His presence, you'll find a supernatural peace that cannot be gained by human psychology or earthly drugs. You can gain new strength to die to self and to live for others, and new strength to resist temptation. You can be given wisdom and insight for your present dilemma. As I mentioned, the Spirit can give you, He has a chance to teach you His word and make application to your heart as you spend time in His presence. And so that's all I'm saying is, it's like the night vision goggles. It just helps you to see things more because you've been in His presence. And so that's the idea I want to get across, is are we missing, is there an elevation of our Christian life that should be bumped up because, or would be bumped up if we spent more time consistently in prayer? The last one is, prayer is to be, is to include thanksgiving. So it says, watch in the same with thanksgiving. So that's part of what we do. Prayer is more than thanksgiving, but prayer should always include thanksgiving. So some verses I know you're familiar with, Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always in all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. So let's make sure we give thanks. We're all familiar with Romans 1, and at the core of that downfall in Romans 1 says they recognized God as God, but they didn't recognize God as God, and neither were they thankful. So what's the opposite of being thankful? Spiteful, okay. Self-centered, okay. Anything instead of saying thanks and being grateful, Israel did it a lot in the wilderness. They murmuring and complaining and griping and groaning and all that kind of stuff. And folks, if you're a Christian, you've been saved by His grace from the depths of hell that you deserve to a home in heaven. And all that Christ has done for us, we always have something to be thankful for. Always. Always. You never should have a time where you say, I don't even know what to be thankful for. Then always go back to the core of your Christian life and what Jesus did for us. And so there's always a reason for that. But remember, when we're not being thankful, you know, we may be, just be careful of griping and complaining. It ruins your closeness to God. I was thinking about it, and I lost my place in my notes. I must have overlooked it somewhere. I was thinking about that aspect of that relationship, that when you're thankful to God, it builds that relationship, and when you're not thankful, it hinders it. It just doesn't draw you close like you should. And so we just need to be thankful. I'm trying to think where... Oh, I put we need to make a conscious effort because of our sinful nature, because of the world. As I mentioned earlier, pessimistic, it's critical, it's filled with complaints, it's filled with unbelief. And I just think we hinder our relationship with God when we're not being thankful, because that gets personal when we get thankful. It comes down to rubber meets the road. Lord, thank you for and expressing that gratitude. I think it draws us closer. So those are the four things here to remember. So it's essential for a Christian life. It takes effort. It elevates our spiritual life. And it should have an element of thanksgiving. So I challenge you in the month of October, because I was going to preach this last week, but then I didn't make it. So if there's something to change in your prayer life, Let's do it in October. You got 3 weeks now. If I preached it last week, you'd have four, but we got three. Let's make it what it ought to be, and let's see, you know, just gauge things. Where am I at? What am I doing? And I think it'll elevate your spiritual life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the reminder here about the need to continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Lord, help us to be praying not only for our own lives and for those of our family, but Lord, of our church family. And Lord, even bigger, Lord, help us to remember your cause in this world, your cause in the city of Kent and this vicinity. Lord, for your name to be honored and glorified, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see when selfishness, or not necessarily selfishness, but Lord, when just self is the only aspect of what we pray for. Father, may we grow, may we be more like Jesus, and Lord, help us to be consistent in our prayer lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.